through the Word of God. And I've got a whole list of things that I want to get into this morning. And I hope I don't get confusing with it. I'm not trying to be confusing. I'll try to keep it where we can grasp it. But I want to talk about that basically what I'm talking about, the church of Jesus Christ was not a temporary solution. Now that's basically what I'm going to talk about. Right now we're going to go to John's Gospel, the 6th chapter. Verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, years ago I preached that passage of Scripture, and the title of it was the success of the eternal purpose of God. And I still believe that. I believe that God's eternal purpose is indeed successful and will end up absolutely according to the will of God, everything. Now, most religion doesn't believe that. Most religion today believes that God has been trying to contend with man for a long time. They're not sure how long. They hear us say that we believe the world is about 6,000 years old, and they read the same scriptures we do, and they say, oh, well, God couldn't have meant that. Because that doesn't fit in with all of the so-called science that's going on. You know, the so-called billions of years and all that. So according to much of the religious world today, they don't think God can even present to us exactly what he's done. And certainly not what he's attempting to do. And he is dependent on the will of man. And that's where most people are today. That's why you have all of these emerging churches. They feel like that they've got the obligation to help God out. They've got to come up with something that'll work, because what God gave us won't work. It's not working. That's what they believe, that it's not working. Now, I believe it's working. You say, well, it doesn't meet the criteria of successful operations of this world. Never was designed to. You look back through history and see all the various things that have happened. And it looks like God came out on the short end of the stick. Not so. Really not so. So, particularly, there is a theory that I'm going to talk about a little bit. It's called the kingdom rejection theory, or the kingdom postponement theory. That is that John the Baptist came, and through John and then Jesus, they came and offered the kingdom of God on earth to the Jews. And the Jews rejected it. Therefore, not knowing what else to do, Jesus started a church. Now, you need to read after some of these commentaries, and as soon as you get into the New Testament, you read what they say, and they most Schofield and all of his ilk, that's how they view this thing. That the church that Jesus built was just a temporary, even afterthought of God. Because the Jews rejected what Jesus intended to do, and therefore he had no other choice but to do this. Now they won't use those exact words, but that is exactly, they accept kingdom rejection as the way it was. Now I got news for them. God's kingdom has always been rejected. It was rejected in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve rebelled against God in the Garden of Eden. Now that's what happened in the Garden of Eden. Adam rebelled against God. Of course Eve too, but Adam's in the transgression. Bible says that. Adam's the one that was guilty. Eve was deceived, but Adam was in the transgression with his eyes wide open. But you say, well, they had a paradise. Yes, they did. They had the only paradise that's ever existed on the face of the earth was in the Garden of Eden, and I don't know where it was. Nobody else does. Was it over there in Iraq? I don't believe it was. It's somewhere. I know it was somewhere, but I don't know where. When God drove the man and woman out of the Garden of Eden, he blocked the way, and then by then, after the flood, there was nothing left of it. Anyway, but you have to admit that God's kingdom, God's rule, was rejected right there in the Garden of Eden. Well, God's kingdom has been rejected all along. Wasn't God's kingdom rejected at the Tower of Babel? Well, of course it was. God said, you replenish the earth right here. And they said, oh no, we want to build our own. Then God drove them out. So, it's always been rejected. God's plan has always been rejected. The only way anyone has ever accepted God's kingdom, God's plan, is when God did a work of grace in them and made them willing to come. Amen. That's the only way. You say, well, what about the Jews? Won't they become willing? Yeah, when God does a work of grace in them, some of them will, not all of them. A remnant of them will. And that remnant, it's a remnant of grace, of the election of grace is exactly what it is. So, the same thing is true with the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's no afterthought. Look at Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. Paul says to the church of the Ephesians, verse 4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles, that's us, should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Now, it doesn't look to me like this is some contingency plan. Looks to me like this is all part of the eternal purpose of God. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. And to me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all men, all kinds of men, see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now notice what we're into here now. And notice where Paul takes us back to. He takes us back to the eternal purpose of God. To the intent that now to the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Looks to me like there's God's purpose working right where it's supposed to be working. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm talking church truth here, folks. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Paul suffering a great deal. But he says, don't faint because of my tribulations. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, and it's grounded in his love, not yours, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Amen. Now that doesn't look to me like that's some kind of a temporary patched up work. Looks to me like that the church that Jesus Christ built is from eternity. Amen. Now, when God set out with Adam and Eve, the first thing he did was teach them how to worship. That's when God killed an animal and made coverings for Adam and Eve, and they by faith received them. There is the first picture of the gospel. And from that time, from Adam to Moses, if you were going to worship God, you had to do it in the family. The head of the family, the individual and the head of the family, is where the worship of God was. There wasn't a particular place. Now I know Jacob wrestled at Bethel. There were several places like that, but there was no one place that people had to go to worship God. It was all done through the family. You see in the book of Job. Job was the head of the family, and he offered up sacrifices for all of them, even though they're adult and supposed to be doing it to themselves. With Moses, and we got into it again this morning, we went back to the time of Moses and the Mount, it changed. From the time of Moses, which is approximately 1,500 years before Christ, 3,500 years ago from us, worship now is going to be conducted at a place. And there's going to be a structure and various offerings and a whole order of priests. And that's where it's all going to take place. So from Moses on, you had to go to the place of worship. And that's the tabernacle. Now the thing about the tabernacle, it was movable. It was a tent. Ultimately, it was a tent. Now, it was an elaborate tent, but it was a tent. And when God's Spirit would lift up the cloud or the pillar of fire, they had to disassemble everything and move with it. And the first thing they did when they got to where the cloud let down or the fire let down, That's the first thing they did. They assembled the tabernacle. Because that was the place that God's people had to worship him. All right. That lasted for some 500 years. Now the children of Israel, they disobeyed and messed up so many times in that 500 years. Until we get to the time of David, about approximately 1,000 B.C., approximately 500 years later. And then to Solomon. David gathered the material. Solomon put it together with his help. And they built a more permanent place of worship. Now, when the temple is built in Jerusalem, approximately 3,000 years ago, there wasn't any other place on the face of the earth that you could go to worship God.
Right.
Some of the furniture and all from the tabernacle ended up in the temple and all that. But the temple was a more permanent place because it wasn't movable. Now you've got Mount Zion, you've got the place of God. And that's where God's worship is conducted. The thing about those synagogues and all that didn't come along until much later. And that really, this was the place. The point is, before the tabernacle, it was the family and the head of the family. At the time of the tabernacle, it was the tabernacle. At the time of the temple, it was the temple. And I mean, whole people moved, the Jews, they had to move and come in. John the Baptist's daddy, Zacharias, he was in the course of Abiathar, and they had to come, and their whole life was centered around the temple. Up until that, it was centered around the tabernacle. They never got out of their tent that they didn't see the tabernacle. It was the center of their whole existence. And so that was how God's people worshiped him. Now, did it make them perfect people? It should have, but it didn't. They had all the advantage that the Gentiles didn't. And the Bible plainly says that God cut them off and grafted in the wild olive tree, and that's the Gentiles. But he did it with the church that Jesus built. Now, the reason I'm giving you all that, most of you know some of these things. The reason I'm giving you this together, because I want you to know that it is very important to God that God's people worship him in the place that God ordained.
Amen.
And what we have in this world today, and it's all we've got, is a kind of church that Jesus built. Now, if you're not in the kind of church that Jesus built, you're not where God has ordained. And your worship is not authoritative. It's not certifiable. The only place we can be authoritative and certifiable is in the kind of church that Jesus built.
Amen.
So, what I want you to know is that this is definitely not a temporary thing. But that's what the whole religious world, you get all of this, the world Sunday school religion, or Sunday school teachings, you get all their commentaries, and if you look through them, I don't really want you to do it, but if you happen to do it, you look through there and you'll see they'll talk about how the Jews rejected the kingdom. I say, first of all, they don't know, they got too many kingdoms. They don't know what kingdom they're talking about. First off, God's kingdom rules over all.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. And so, what kingdom are they talking about? I'm not sure they know what they're talking about. I think what some of them, the dispensationalists, are saying that the millennial kingdom could have come at Jesus' advent. No. No. Does that mean that Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection was just an afterthought, something he couldn't help. He came to do certain things. Amen. He came to redeem his people. In order to redeem his people, he had to go through what he went through to live a perfect life, obeying the law of God to earn perfect righteousness. Amen. For his people. And then at the end of his life, he was delivered up. Look at Matthew 16. Matthew's Gospel, the 16th chapter. Verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now, this is about 6 months before it happened. And there's about five or six other references in the New Testament to where Jesus warned his apostles, his disciples, of what was coming. But he said he must go into Jerusalem and must suffer many things of the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and he must be killed and he must be raised again the third day. Now, that's not an afterthought. Amen. That speaks of purpose. Amen. For which he came. But if you back up just a little bit, you see what he just got done doing. He said, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, upon this rock, I am now and will be building my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's not afterthought at all. Now, if they say that the kingdom could have come back with John the Baptist, this all couldn't have happened. And I'm not trying to confuse you, but I'm just letting you know that when you read after some of these, you're going to hear them like the Jews rejected the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Well, they rejected everything. They've been rejecting everything. And everybody rejects everything. I rejected everything until the Lord did a work of grace in me. Amen. And that's the way it's always been. Noah rejected everything until God, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So, I say these guys have got too many kingdoms and they don't understand the ones that are. They try to make the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God two different kingdoms. They really do. They make a big deal about that. Brother Brown says very plainly, buddy, that the kingdom of God, that's the king of the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven's where he reigns from. And that's the only difference in them. There's no difference at all. I'll tell you something else. They got way too many gospels. Brother Staten's in that first chapter of Galatians this morning. I'll tell you, this is a big problem all over. There's not but one gospel. Amen. It's called the gospel of God. It's called the gospel of grace. It's called the gospel of the kingdom. It's called the everlasting gospel. It's called the gospel of Christ, the gospel of Paul. Amen. But go back there to Galatians 1. He got us there this morning. Let's go back there. Verse 6, Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. He said to the churches of Galatia, these Judaizers have really done a job there in perverting and twisting the truth and getting these people to follow him. He says, unto another gospel, which is not another. The play there on the Greek words, there are many gospels that are all phony, counterfeit, which is not another. There's not another of this kind. How many gospels are there? One. But they would pervert the gospel. But though, now look, verse 8. Though we, that's Paul and those with him, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That means cut off. He said, if I come back and try to preach to you another gospel than that which I've already preached, let me be cut off. Don't hear me. He said, I don't have a right to preach another gospel. And nobody has a right to preach a new truth. Amen. Or a pretense of a truth. The truth comes from God. He says, I didn't get that from man. I didn't get my gospel from man. I got it from the Lord by direct revelation. But he said, though an angel from heaven comes. Will there ever be an angel from heaven preach the gospel? Read Revelation 14 and see if that angel in the heaven doesn't come say, preaches what? The everlasting gospel. And lo and behold, so-called writers, preachers, will say, well, that's a different gospel. This bunch right here says that. It's so, well, it's the everlasting gospel. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. What a descriptive term of the gospel, everlasting. Where did it start? In the purpose of God in eternity. Amen. And where will it cease to be? Never. Amen. Therefore, it is the everlasting gospel. The gospel we rejoice in today will be rejoiced in eternity in heaven. Amen. Though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And I'm going to tell you, if they come by and say, well, in order to get saved, you got to be baptized. That's another gospel. Amen. Or if they come to you and say, you got to keep the Mosaic law in order to be saved. That's another gospel. And they're preaching other gospels all around us. Or if they say, you've got to do the seven sacraments. That's a lot of other gospels. And we said before, so say I now again, if any man is in italics, anyone, preach any other gospel unto you that you have received, let him be accursed. Anyone. It doesn't matter. So I say they've got too many kingdoms and definitely got too many gospels. Now, Christ had to fulfill all of God's purpose. In Matthew 3, Christ said to John the Baptist, thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. The baptism of John was not a diversion. The baptism of John was not an alternative solution. It wasn't an accident. John 1, there was a man sent from God. There was nothing temporal about it, nothing temporary about it. There was nothing temporary about the cross. We see the cross from Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. the proto-evangelium, the first prophecy of the gospel, finishing up with God illustrating the Lamb of God. So, there's nothing temporary about any of this. It's all on purpose, by a purpose, for a purpose, and it's all the will of God. Amen. You say, well, what about the Jews? They did reject. Yeah, and it's still rejecting. Who's not rejecting? Go preach the gospel on a street corner and see who rejects. I don't know whether you even can now anymore or not. But go see who's still rejecting. The whole world's still rejecting. They're rejecting in mass all over. What's different about that? They've all rejected. Everything's been rejected. Was Christ rejected? He's still been rejected.
Amen.
I mean, when you've got people writing so-called theologians, writing books, saying that Jesus Christ was a homosexual, and he had, it literally says, had queer ideas, queer desires. Look on Answers in Genesis on Ken Ham's Facebook. Click on to it. I don't even like to look at it. But I mean, right now, university, I don't know, Virginia, I don't know where it is. Anyway, a professor there, theology professor there. I believe that's rejection of Christ, isn't it? I believe that's rejection of the whole Bible, isn't it? There's no limit to the degradation, the depth that they'll sink to reject everything from God. This whole world has been in rebellion since the Garden of Eden. And you can't let it go by saying that just, well, they weren't humble. That's what Paul Prather said. They're seeing there, they just weren't humble enough. No, they was rebelling. Amen. They were rebels, that's exactly. And we're still rebels. And when you're talking all that garbage, you are very much right in the throes of rebellion against God and against His Word. But then again, I got to say, the only reason I'm not there is because of the grace of God doing a work of grace in me. So I can't get too mad at them. I don't like them. I don't be around them. I don't be influenced by them. But that's what I, there before the grace of God go I. And ultimately, the church. Jesus didn't come to just sit on a throne. Matter of fact, Jesus wasn't throned until after he resurrected. He said, well, that's the throne of David. Well, yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. Yeah. But it wasn't because he was rejected. Will there be a kingdom of God on earth? Of course there's going to be. Of course there's going to be. I said, well, all the ways you can go is Revelation 20. Well, how many times God's got to say something for it to be true? One time looks good enough to me, and boy, you got a bunch of times there. But they all don't like that. No, you don't like that because it doesn't fit your plan. But God's plan is His will be done. Amen. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When will that happen? It will happen. Amen. So why hasn't it happened yet? Not the will of God.
Amen.
So why didn't Jesus Christ come a long time before? Well, He only came when it was in the fullness of the time that God had predestinated. In the fullness of the time, God sent forth His Son, made a woman born under the law, that He might redeem them that were under the law.
Amen.
So, too many gospels, too many kingdoms. Look at 2 Timothy. chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. All right, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, Amen. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Now, when did all this begin? Before the world began. Now, when you get before the world began, you're in eternity. You can't talk time then. We talk sometime about how long, how old was Adam when he fell and all that, and I don't think that's a good question. I think you're never going to find that out. When did time begin? There's a question. I think time began when he sinned. Said, so, well, how old was he? I don't know. He came out of eternity. I don't know. How do you do that? How do you judge that? But when you're before the world began, you're in eternity. And all you have to deal with there is the eternal purpose of God. And God's eternal purpose is not contingent on what a few preachers do. Amen. Or don't do. God's eternal purpose is contingent only on the will of God, like I read to you in John 6. Right, and what is the will of God? This is the will of God, that of everyone which seeth me, which you've given unto me, I'll raise him up at the last day. So, the church is not a temporary contingency or diversion. It's what God ordained. Did everybody slip up on the blind side of God and make him change his plans? No, I don't serve a God like that. Some others might think they do, might want to serve a God like that, but a God like that doesn't. You don't serve a God like that. You just make him be what you want him to be. And God is not like you want him to be. God is like he is. He is as he is. So what I'm saying here is there was no kingdom postponement, no kingdom rejection. Now there was that, but that had nothing to do with what Jesus Christ did when he started his kind of church. And Jesus said, this is my assembly. And all of the teaching after that is that God's work goes on through his kind of church. So just as in the temple, well, the temple had a location. It was local. It wasn't universal. It was local. If you served God, you went to the temple. And in a real sense, the tabernacle was local. It was always local. It was where the people were. Even though they moved, they picked up and moved, they set it down first. Set it up, and the people congregated around the tabernacle, north, south, east, west. And the tabernacle was primary in their hearts and minds and in their service to God. It was always there. Temple, primary to God's people in their service there in Jerusalem. If they didn't live there, they had to come there. They couldn't go where they wanted to go or where they thought they wanted to go. They had to go where God said. Now, how does that fit the church? Well, it's right in line. Right in line. Now, we're not that local, but the assembly, the church that Jesus built, is local. But if you're a member of the Lord's church, it needs to be primary in your life.
Amen.
This is where we serve God. It says there's someplace else you can do it. No, there really isn't. He said, well, God gets glory everywhere. Yeah, but he gets his glory through his church.
Amen.
I believe we read that just a minute ago, didn't we? Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus unto himself throughout all ages, world without end. The church is not a temporary thing. It is a definite, permanent thing. Folks, we need to really think about that. All of us. Just how loyal, how faithful are we to the Lord's church? Now I tell you, the only way we're going to make it, we got to have our members be here. We just got to have them be here. We can't just pick and choose when we're going to come. We got to be here. It's got to be a part of our lives. When I'm dead and gone, I'd like to think before I die that my church is going to be there after me. And you?
Amen.
So now, we need to get on the ball, and all of us get with it. Be faithful to the Lord's church. Now, I don't have a whole lot more to tell you. But I want you to know that much of this religious world, biggest part of it, is laboring under the false delusion that the church is just a temporary thing. And doesn't really matter. That's why they're changing everything. That's why they're changing and trying to attract people. I understand wanting people. I want people too, but I want who God sends.
Amen.
I want them here, those who come here to serve God, not to get served themselves.
Amen.
And we're not going to get caught up in that. So, well, it may destroy you. Well, it may do it. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, a lot of people have suffered a lot following the Lord and being faithful to him. They've had their heads cut off and everything else. Yeah. So what's it going to take for us? We need to be faithful to the Lord's kind of church. Sunday is the Lord's day.
Amen.
And you know, that's the whole day.
Yep.
It really is.
Yep.
It's the whole day. When we get done right here, this will be not the end of the Lord's day. As far as we're concerned, we'll be done with the Lord's day after we get done with the afternoon service. Now, some people have an evening service much later, but our Lord's day will be over 3 o'clock or a little bit after, whenever we get done there. That's when the Lord's day is over. We start at 10 o'clock with Sunday school. We have Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Ain't much. No big deal. Some people can't get off from work and get here in that time. But if you can be here, you ought to be here.
Amen.
For these services, we don't call many extra services. And one reason I don't, because I just don't think we get everybody here. I mean, we get real regular. Everybody gets real regular for Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Wednesday night. Then I might see something there. But we've got enough preaching here.
Amen.
We've got enough teaching here. We don't need people coming from outside to do anymore. We got plenty of teaching. Amen, brother. If you want to learn the Word of God, you can learn it any time you come here. You're going to get something if you want it. I think you've learned something today. I think you've heard something today that you can learn from. No, I'm not going on for 2 hours, but I don't have to. But I'm just trying to tell you, we need to get on the ball. I don't know how long the Lord's going to tolerate all of us, our country. I don't know, but I want to be serving Him right up to the time, whatever happens. Let's stand.